My name is Ernabelle DeMillo. I am back as MC once again, host and producer of CUNY TV's 7-time Emmy-nominated magazine show, Asian American Life. Thank you. Yes, as you heard, 7 Emmy nominations. We are still waiting to actually win the award. We are like the Susan Lucci of the New York Emmys. We're hoping that this will be the year. It is my pleasure to once again be here to MC the Asian American and Asian Research Institute's 18th gala. 18th! That is just amazing. You know, the teen years, right? They got out of it. Now they're 18. Almost been going to college. Makes sense, right? So, I've got some exciting news for you all. Dinner will be served. Are you, yes. Exciting stuff, right? Are you ready? Who hasn't been to a Chinese banquet? Oh, so everyone in, okay, there's a couple people over there. Wait, you've never been? Oh, wow. Hey, crowd, aren't they in for a massive treat, right? Pace yourself. There is a lot of food. A lot of food. And save me some of the lobster. So a round of applause for the Jingfong staff who always do an amazing job. So I have to say, thank you for being such a nice and quiet crowd listening to me, all tables, even the back. So the last time I was here, and I don't know if anyone is here from CPC. I emceed the CPC benefit. I don't know if you've been to the CPC benefit. No one is listening to you. Everyone's just like talking, having fun. And so I'm essentially just emceeing to like that table. So hi. So thank you everyone for listening tonight. So we thank Jingfong. Now another big round of applause for ARI, the Asian American and Asian Research Institute, for really celebrating their 18th year being a part of the City University of New York. Since its establishment back in November 2001, ARI has educated and engaged the public and students on policies and issues affecting the Asian American and global Asian community through its programs such as the Friday Evening Lecture Series, CUNY Forum, Academic Journal, and all their conferences. We also want to give a warm welcome, a warm CUNY welcome, to Professor Hung Cam Thai. Where's the professor? There? Oh, hello, professor. He's from Pomona University, California. Oh, my God, this must be so cold for you, right? Yes, it's very cold. I hope they gave you like a puffer jacket to keep you warm. He is this year's Thomas Tam Visiting Professor in Asian American Studies, selected by the Asian American Asian Research Institute. And during his tenure, Professor Thai will be affiliated with the CUNY Graduate Center. Hey, that's where CUNY is. Come by and say hi to me, CUNY TV, and Hunter College. So as you enjoy tonight's 10-course meal, yes, 10 courses, please welcome to the stage now Professor Vinit Parmar, Vice Chair of the ARI Board.
As Vice Chair of ARI, it's my pleasure to welcome you tonight. Thank you for coming out in the cold. And I want to take this time to ask all our current and all our former board members of ARI to please just stand up and show yourselves. Just so we can all know where you are. All around there, that table, one, that's table here. Wonderful. And while we're at it, please, all our CUNY alum, can you please all stand up? Wow. Look at that. Look at that. Amazing. Thank you. And warm, thank you. Do you see the reach of CUNY? They're coming to this table and coming to our banquet and helping us move forward. So, Trustee Kevin Kim couldn't be here tonight, and he asked that we deliver a message for him. So on his behalf, these are his remarks. Good evening. I regret that I cannot be here in person to celebrate ARI's 18th annual gala and to congratulate tonight's honorees, Assembly Member Yulin Niu and June Ji, both proud CUNY alumna. And I especially want to congratulate our students, the Thomas Tan Scholarship winner and York and Noel Chin essay competition winners and honorable mentions. They're listed on our CUNY website, on our ARI website, yeah? Over the last two decades, New York City's Asian American population has doubled. That population increase is reflected by the doubling of the Asian American student population at CUNY. I salute ARI and all of the faculty and staff throughout CUNY for the great work that they do in supporting our students. Have a great evening and enjoy the celebration. End of quote. So, once again, thank you, and I welcome you here on behalf of ARI and our CUNY students.
So now, let's please welcome to the stage Joyce Moy, Executive Director of ARI.
Thank you, Annabelle. Well, good evening. It's been a whole year since I've shared a 10-course meal with some of my best friends and my favorite colleagues and our adored students and members of our community. It's been a turbulent year, hasn't it? Everything that we thought was right, we are being told is wrong. Everything that we know is wrong, we're being told is right or inconsequential. It really makes you despair. It really makes you dispirited. But then you walk into a room like this with community, and you know what's right. What's right is that in this room, our students whose experiences and struggles, the stories of their lives will warm your heart. Other stories will break your heart and bring you to tears, like the stories we received in the essay submitted for our essay competition. What's right is that in this room, there were faculty members that personally hand-delivered their students' essays to make sure that they didn't miss the competition deadline. What's right is that there are faculty and community members in this room who purchased tickets so that all of our diverse students within CUNY would have an opportunity to share a 10-course meal with us, to get to know us, and to get to know each other. That's what's right. And what else is right is the fabulous alumni that CUNY has sent out into the world to do fantastic work. And you'll see why. Our Thomas Tam Scholarship winner, Biling Chen, is a student at Queensborough Community College. And she has already learned from her experiences at CUNY that there are issues that she is able to address and to make life better. The resilience, the intellectual acumen, and the insightfulness of the students that we produce results in the kind of alumni that we have. And that is embodied in two of our honorees tonight. And again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out, not just for the generosity of your financial support, but for the generosity of the time and the care that you are giving to us because of your presence here. So please enjoy tonight's dinner, the camaraderie, the community, and let's continue doing what we know is right. Thank you.
So we're going to start the awards portion of our program. And I am really thrilled that ARI will be presenting the first award to a friend of mine, another friend. So the first award of the evening goes to New York State Assembly member Yulin Nu. Wait, hold on. I got some stuff to say about you, Yulin. So in 2016, Assemblymember Nu was elected to serve the 65th Assembly District in Manhattan, representing the Lower East Side, Chinatown, South Street, Seaport, Financial District, and Battery Park City. You know, I used to live in that neighborhood. I'm so bummed. You would have been my assembly person. Yeah, exactly. Move back. I can't afford it. The Assemblymember began working on state policy issues way back in college. So I actually interviewed Yulin on my show, and we go back, right? So I know your history, Yulin. And she also revealed other things to me, too, that we did not put in that segment. She eventually accepted a position with the Washington State House Health Committee Chair and went on to work as an advocate and organizer on anti-poverty issues, where she helped build a broad coalition to fight predatory lending and assist low-income families build financial assets. She was always, always working for the people. She later served as chief of staff for New York State Assemblymember Ron Kim, and that's where we met, where under her leadership, the office assisted thousands of immigrants, small business owners, teachers, seniors, workers, and students. And I can attest to that. I have been to his office, and boy, that office is busy with constituents. Since being elected, Assemblymember Nu has continued her advocacy work around financial empowerment. On housing, she has worked to secure funding for New York City Housing Authority repairs and has stood with tenant rights advocates for better housing regulations. Along with her colleagues, the Assemblymember helped form New York State's first ever, which is crazy, Asian Pacific American Legislative Task Force, finally, which focuses on advancing issues impacting New York's Asian American community. Most recently, Assemblymember Nu helped pass the Child Victims Act. This state law, which went into effect in August, extends the statute of limitation on child sexual abuse and includes a look-back period. What that does, it gives survivors of any age a year to take legal action, even if their cases had expired under the old statute of limitations. That is amazing. In addition to being elected official, Assemblymember Nu is also a CUNY alum, completing her master's degree in public administration at the Baruch College Marx School of Public and International Affairs. And she is also part of the National Urban Fellowship Program, where she worked on regional and international environmental issues. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage ARRI's 2019 Leadership Award recipient, New York State Assemblymember Yulin Nu.
Oh my gosh, this is really weird because I used to actually be the chief of staff for Assemblymember Ron Kim. And I actually came with him every single year to this banquet, and I never thought that I would actually be awarded one day. And it's incredibly amazing and flattering to be awarded the same day that one of my heroes and mentors, Junji, is. And so I think, like, it's so incredible. Thank you. And I also think that, you know, Ernabelle deserves a lot of kudos because Ernabelle has been doing the emceeing for this event forever. And every single year, she makes it so that we get to see so many different Asian American leaders because, you know, everybody who watches her show knows that she's done an incredible job in profiling so many different leaders all across the board from our own CUNY alum. So thank you so much for being you, Ernabelle. I guess because this is the leadership award, I want to talk a little bit about leadership. I'm not like one of those charismatic speaker types. I'm not one of those charismatic leaders, so I'm going to have to ask for a little bit of patience. Because for me, I had a lot of amazing mentors, and one of my mentors was somebody who some of you might know. His name is Uncle Bob Santos. And his wife was also a mentor of mine, and her name was Sharon Tomiko Santos. So Sharon Tomiko Santos was one of the first Asian American women ever to be elected to any state office. She holds still a seat in Washington State as representative. And Uncle Bob, unfortunately, has passed away, but he was somebody who actually helped to make sure that we had so many different ethnic groups being able to work together to fight together in order to fight for more pie. But yeah, so Uncle Bob was one of those leaders who, you know, you don't think of him as the typical A-type personality, but he taught me that you don't have to be one of those amazing speakers. You don't have to be one of those people who, like, rule with an iron fist. And he taught me what servant leadership looks like. And he told me that, you know, anybody can lead from anywhere. And I took that to heart, because it doesn't matter what position you sit in. It doesn't matter if you have a title. It doesn't matter if you have a desk or a piece of paper even, or a pencil. Like, you can lead from anywhere. And you can lead to make sure that the people that you want heard are heard. And so he taught me what advocacy looks like. He taught me what servant leadership looks like. And he also taught me how important mentorship is. And I think that being a good leader is also being a really good mentor. And I'm just going to give another shout out to Sharon Tomiko, because I'm just going to tell you a personal story of mine, which is that I never had a lot of opportunities growing up to be able to plug into nonprofit and government jobs like people who knew how to navigate government did. And for me, I always thought that government was this thing that was untouchable. It's a thing that's peripheral and that other people just couldn't really access, that I couldn't access, that somehow, you know, certain people had access, but it wasn't for me. And I realized that there is no big secret to governing. There is no big secret to accessing government once I became a legislative intern. And I saw for myself how government could be accessed. And I realized what the big secret was. The big secret was that government is accessible and that people should actually try to access it, right? And I realized that there is no big secret. There's just a lot of people who have power and money, and they want to keep that power and they want to keep that money, that try to keep government inaccessible to people like me and you. And so that was one of the big things that I realized, like, I need to get that secret out there, right? Like, that there is no secret to government. Like, I need to make sure that people actually understood how to advocate for themselves. And I didn't know how to do that, and I didn't always have mentors to help me. But when I met Sharon, she literally took me into her home. She went line by line through my resume for me. And then when she asked me what I was going to wear, I was like, I don't know this. She went to her closet and she pulled out clothes from her closet to give to me to dress me for my interviews. And that kind of, mentorship showed me what authentic servant leadership looked like. And so I always feel like it's my job to continue on working on breaking that myth of government access being a big secret, and also building a pipeline for young people. I think that is so important that we build a pipeline. Right now, I mean, we have so little representation. You're looking at the only Asian American in the entire New York State legislature who's a woman. The only female. I was working for the only Asian American in the New York State legislature when I was his chief of staff. There was only one Asian American in the entire New York State legislature, and that was, like, historic. There was only one in that seat, that same seat in the 40th district in Flushing, right? And so we had Jimmy Meng, we had Ellen Young, Grace Meng, and then Ron. And they were all in the same seat. And that was the only seat that had Asian American representation. And then when I was elected, we doubled that number. And then last year, we doubled it again. So now we have four Asian Americans. but sadly still the only woman. I want to say that, you know, it was really hard. The first time I went up there to Albany with Ron, it was during his inauguration, and I understood then that leadership also took patience. Because that day, when we walked into the chambers, I kid you not, still a colleague of ours, but an older white man came up to Ron and asked him if he knew how to dance Gangnam style. And then he turned to me and said, congratulations on winning Congress, because he thought that I was Grace Meng. So I understood then that we were not represented on the state level, and that we needed to be able to break that myth that accessing government is a big secret. And we needed to make sure that we built a pipeline for young people. And we needed to make sure that we had mentorship on every single level. Because the road to this seat, I will tell you, was not easy. And it continues to not be easy every single day that I'm up in Albany. But we're going to make it so that it's not that way when other people run. Because we all know that seeing is believing. And I was lucky enough to have mentors like June and Bob Santos and Sharon Tomiko Santos and Erna Bell. I was lucky enough to see what leadership could look like, that there were so many different leadership styles, that we had so many different Asian Americans in positions that were decision-making positions. And we need to make sure that we're constantly being visible so that more people can see what we look like and what leadership looks like when we take on leadership. And one last thing I want to impart, because those were three lessons that I learned. But one last thing is how hard we are on ourselves and how hard we are on one another, right? I think that leadership, we have to be kind to ourselves and we have to be kind to one another. I will say that when I was running for office, the biggest person that I was afraid of was me and the voice in my head that constantly told me the same things over and over and over and over again. And that was, you know, oh, you know, maybe somebody else should do it. Like, maybe I'm not the type to get up in a public space and speak to a lot of people. Maybe it's somebody more like Ron or Sharon or Bob that can do it, and maybe it doesn't have to be me, or maybe it shouldn't be me, or whatever. So these are things that constantly go through our heads. And it happens the most, I think, to women, and it happens a lot to Asian Americans, and it happens a lot to people of color. And I think that even though the voice sounds like your mom, it's not my mom. It wasn't my mom, it was me. And I think that it's so important to be kind to yourself in positions of leadership, because when you're kind to yourself, you're also kind to others. When you're whole in yourself, you're also whole with others. And I think that, you know, it was so hard. One of the things that Erna Bell just mentioned was with the Child Victims Act. It was so hard to be able to stand up and talk about my own experience as a survivor of childhood sexual assault. And I realized that if I wasn't kind to myself in that moment, if I wasn't able to dull the voices in my head that told me to run from that room, then I wouldn't have been able to do it. And I wouldn't have been able to actually have spoken up on behalf of so many other people. And I think that being kind to yourself, you're able to make sure that you can speak up when it matters and be able to pave that road for young people who want to become part of that pipeline and become that mentor that is going to make the difference and that change in somebody else's life and become the leader that will be able to do all of those things for somebody else. So I think that, again, I wanted to reiterate how amazing it is that I get to be with so many of my mentors every single day, and how amazing it is to be in this room with so many people that I admire. And I want to say thank you to all of the folks who came before us and stood in this exact podium, maybe, and receive this award. And I want to say thank you for this incredible honor. And I'm so humbled and I'm so honored. And, you know, I'm going to not say that I don't deserve it, because that's something that I did say to myself and I did say online. I'm just going to say what my mom told me to say, which is thank you. So thank you so much.
I just love her. Wasn't that an amazing speech? It was just really from the heart. So my script says, congratulations, Assemblymember New. I was like, yeah, congratulations, you lead. So how's everyone enjoying dinner? That shrimp, right? That's a good one. One of my faves. I still haven't had one, so make sure he does not take it away. Because I had to come up here. So right now, if you haven't figured it out, we're here, first of all, to give out a couple of awards, to honor some people, but this is also a fundraising event. And so Ari will really appreciate your generous financial support tonight. So making their way down the aisle, do I see any of the volunteers? Do you guys want to wave? Making their way down the aisle very soon will be the Gala Volunteers, and they're going to, if you haven't been here before, they're going to be selling instant win raffle tickets. So you win, you'll know if you win right away. Each raffle ticket is only $5, and just in case you're wondering, they accept both cash and credit card. So once you receive this raffle ticket, all you have to do is open up the envelope to see if you're a winner, and guess what? There are over 220 prizes available tonight. Yes, 220. You could win gift cards and certificates for Pillow Arts Day Spa and Salon, Coral Wellness Aesthetics, Starbucks, Tanger Outlets, tickets to One World Observatory. I have not been. I hope I win that one. The New York Philharmonic and Ripley's Believe It or Not Times Square and an Amazon Kindle. So lots of prizes, 220 prizes. So all you have to do to claim your raffle prize is just fill out the winning ticket with all your information and then bring it to the back. There's also a silent auction table, some really cool stuff. I already bid on something. So make sure you check that out. There are only 500 of these tickets for sale tonight. So do the math. No, seriously, do the math, because I'm not good at that. So do the math. And the odds of winning, oh, did someone win over there? Are really, really great tonight. So quick note about the silent auction table. It will stay open till about another hour, 8:45. And the winners will actually have their items delivered to your table. Great service here at this gala. So if you are a winner, you leave early, don't worry. Ari will contact you to arrange for pickup. Just make sure you write all your information down. So there is actually a full list of all the raffle and silent auction items on your table. And also, Ari wants to thank all the individuals, groups, and companies that contributed to tonight's gala, including, and you probably see it on your table, Tam Wines and Spirits for their red wine. Yes, that's a round of applause for the red wine that you're all enjoying tonight, as well as the Insomnia Cookies that we had earlier. And also, let's thank our table sponsors tonight. Let's give a big round of applause to Con Ed, Queens College, Queensboro Community College, Eastman Real Estate, Hunter College, Kingsboro Community College, LaGuardia Community College, Medgar Evers College, the Ong Family Foundation, Sarah Tam, United Parcel Service, Dan and Rebecca Hong, and OCA New York. Ari says, thank you. So, continue to enjoy your dinner, and we'll be back soon to present our next award. Are you all enjoying the meal? The lobster's out. Lobster's very good. I still haven't had the lobster yet, though, because I had to make sure that my bids were not being, you know, replaced by someone else. And I just want to alert you all, you know, to check out the silent auction table, but to check out the Moët Chandon champagne. Did you all see that? It was like this big. It's like as tall as me. So I just talked to Tam Wine and Spirits, and I've been told that if you are the winning bid, that it can be personalized with crystals. So you can see that, like, happy anniversary to my one and only love. Happy birthday, mom, dad. But it can be personalized. Now, the minimum bid, but I know we have some very generous people here. It's $1,000. But I hear that this bottle just literally came off the crate from France, right? And it is, yep. I got the confirmation there, and it's a very, very unique, well, unique and one of the kind are the same thing, bottle of champagne. So someone will be a lucky winner tonight if they bid on that. So we're going to present our next award. Our next honoree is another friend of mine, Ms. June G. Woo! Wait, I got stuff to say about you, June. Hold on. She is tonight's CUNY Distinguished Asian American Alumni Award recipient. So a little bit about this award. It honors CUNY alums who have not only achieved success in their chosen field, but exemplify the spirit of CUNY through service and commitment to community. And for those of you who know June G, she embodies all of that. So right now, actually, we'd like to invite several of our past alumni recipients. Mr. Aziz Ahmad, CEO of UTC Partners. You guys come on up. Also the first recipient of this award. Mr. Savio Chen, CEO of US-China Partners. Ms. Lily Huey, partner at Rake and Malter, I hope I said that right, and Company, LLP. Ms. Deborah Chan, attorney at the law office of Deborah Chan. Mr. Nelson Louie, executive officer of the Ong Family Foundation. And Mr. David Ho, vice president of 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East. If you all could come to the stage and help us present our next award, that would be greatly appreciated. Yes, come on down. Nelson, where are you? Come on down. I see you. So while they're walking down, I will tell you a little bit about June G. So June is a strategic partnership consultant based right here in New York City, and she received her BA in art from the City College of New York. Woo! And her corporate community relations certification from Boston College. June is a government and external affairs professional with extensive experience in strategy development and execution, internal and external stakeholder relationship cultivation and management, philanthropic program development and management, employee volunteer engagement and budget management. My gosh, what does your LinkedIn page look like? Prior to becoming a consultant, June had a long, long career at Verizon. She's an active member and volunteer in the community. She currently serves on various boards, including the Museum of Chinese in America. And didn't you all have your gala last night? Oh my gosh. Chinatown Partnership Local Development Corporation, United East Athletic Association, and the Asian Pacific American Institute for Congressional Studies. My goodness, you are busy, June. She is the past president of OCA Asian Pacific American Advocates New York Chapter. And while at Verizon, she was Excellence of Verizon, an employee resource organization that addresses the professional needs of Asian American employees. So ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming to the stage, to join our alums here, June G, the recipient of the 2019 CUNY Distinguished Asian Alumni Award. Wow, look at this reception.
Oh my God, this is incredible. First and foremost, Congratulations, Yulin. I mean, I can't top what you said before, because you're amazing. You're a tremendous leader. And to our young honoree, Billing, congratulations. This is amazing. I have something here, but now I don't know whether I can use this or not. But honestly, it's going to be really short and simple. First and foremost, thank you everyone for being here and for supporting Ari. It is really special to see so many of you here this evening. Thank you, Ari, for this very special honor. It is indeed a privilege to be in this space with so many accomplished individuals. Many of us stand on the shoulders of people that came before us. Those persons play a vital role in our successes. So I want to take a few minutes just to talk about who and what play a pivotal role in my successes. First of all, I like to mention my husband. Where is he? Tony. And by the way, yesterday was his birthday, and I made him go to a fundraiser with me. So now you can understand why I want to acknowledge him first. We've been married over 40 years, believe it or not. Yeah, I know, I pinch myself every morning. You would think that man over there would have the gray hair for putting up with my madness, but it's like actually the reverse. He's got all his dark hair and I've got all the grays. But honestly, honey, thank you so much for your patience and your support for putting up with everything that I do. Sometimes a little crazy, sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. But without your love and support, I cannot do what I do. So thank you. Now, as I look around the room, there are so many people here that I would like to thank and acknowledge. But if I did that, we'll be here until tomorrow. So I'm going to cut it a little shorter, and I just want to acknowledge two very special people in my life, and those are my sons, Michael and Chris. You can stand up. Come on. Like their father, they also put up with me too. So they give me their love and their support, but then they oftentimes they say, Mom, you're crazy. You shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. But that's what makes me go even more, because when they're telling me I'm crazy, that means I should do more. Now, to my friends and my mentors, especially those who work tirelessly to advocate on behalf of our community, on many fronts. Talk about education, talk about healthcare, talk about affordable housing, talk about immigrant rights, civil rights, and it goes on and on and on. I want you to know that it is people like you that inspires me every day to do what I do. So thank you. Now, most importantly, I am very grateful to my late parents. All families, all parents want a better life for their children. As such, my family left Hong Kong in 1964, and we immigrated here to New York City. I still remember our first apartment, 458 Grand Street. Though the tenement building's no longer there, there's a high rise there, part of the revitalization of the Lower East Side, if you want to put it that way. But we were here because my family wanted a better life. And with every immigrant family, and I'm sure you know that, we go through the challenges. My parents, whose lifestyle was quite different from what they were in Hong Kong, when they arrived here, my father worked in a restaurant, very typical, I'm sure. My mother worked in the garment industry. They work long hours, usually 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, maybe even 7 days. We didn't get to see them enough, but my parents make sure that we get a good education and that we can strive for the best that we can do. They didn't expect to have geniuses, but they just want good children to get a good education and try their very best. I remember when I was young, my parents just, you know, working 6-7 days a week. I was left with my brothers. And back in the days, you know, you go to regular school 5 days a week. After school, you go to Chinese school. And it wasn't Chinese school on Saturdays. It was Chinese school 5 days a week. So we would go home, get home by like 3 o'clock, grab our other Chinese school book bag and run into Chinatown to go to Chinese school. I remember one day my brothers just left me behind, and here I am, this 7-year-old little girl, lost in the middle of, I'm sure you can understand, by Confucius Plaza, the Bowery and Catherine Street, that very dangerous triangle. I somehow fell in the middle of the street, and I was crying hysterically. And somehow someone rescued me. But after that incident, my mother said, this can't go on. So what happened? Well, we ended up being in a sweatshop with my mother. All right. No longer was my mother comfortable that I was left with my brothers. So we ended up after school in the sweatshop until mom would get home. This was the kind of life we led, but at the same time, it was a very full life for us. It was a very happy life. As a child, I didn't understand what poverty meant. I didn't understand what struggle meant. But as I got older, I was able to understand and see that. Today, as I have my 2 children here, and I'm a grandmother of 4, very proud, I want them to have the kind of life that my parents wanted me to have. As a child, I was very interested in the arts, but my mom was very practical. She said, no, look into a nursing career. And I, well, guess what? I can't stand the sight of blood. I probably will hurt the patient before I can rescue them. So, of course, I went against my mother's wishes, and I was accepted into the High School of Art and Design and also Music and Art, which is now known as the LaGuardia School of Performing Arts. Well, mom was not comfortable, and she said, you know what, you're not going all the way up north to go up to 135th Street. So I ended up going to Art and Design. Well, how ironic is that? That when I went to college, guess where I went? I went to City College of New York, and where is that? 135th Street. So it was meant to be that I go to City University. And I will tell you, my first year there as a freshman, I was fascinated by the diversity on campus and by the experiences that I had on campus. Because as a high schooler or junior high, you don't see all that. All right. And then what's really important to me was the realization of who I am. Because at that time, Asian American studies was being introduced. And that's when I realized what it meant to be Asian American and how that sort of formed the foundation of who I am today and what I want to do with myself. So fortunately for me, after graduation, I was gainfully employed by Verizon, and Verizon gave me great opportunities in my 30 plus years there. I know, they don't make them like us anymore. So in December of 2011, I decided to retire because I think there's a lot to life. And after my retirement, I made a commitment to say, you know, now that I have time, I can do the kind of work that I really love to do, and that is working with the community. So I was blessed with meeting many friends. Many of them are in the room today who nurture, mentor me, and put the person who was on the corporate side onto the nonprofit side. So when I was on the corporate side, I was a funder. I manage philanthropy. So my relationship with a lot of the community groups are fairly good. But now I'm on the other side, and I'm learning, and I'm so grateful to everyone who helped me get to where I am. One of the organizations I do like to mention is OCA New York in the back. It's an amazing organization made up of all volunteers, not one single pay staff. And we've been around over 40 years, and we've been doing tremendous work, especially now with the census coming around the corner. And so I hope everyone, too, will get on that train, the census train, and let's all get out the count. And if you want to volunteer, if you want to do something, give me a call. I will work with you. I promise I will work with you. So let me finish by saying how proud I am to be a part of this amazing institution called the City University of New York. To this day, I believe, was it 1847? City College? So 152 years, we're still here, and we're still providing an affordable and a quality education for those who might not be able to attain that. So I thank you. I accept this award, and I want to share this award with my late parents, my family, and those who continue to advocate for our community. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
So next up, I'd like to call up Gigi Lee. She is the Chief of Staff for Margaret Chen, the Honorable Margaret Chen, our City Council member, and also a CUNY alum.
Thank you, everyone. Good evening. I am here on behalf of Councilmember Margaret Chen, who is a proud CUNY alum and former employee of CUNY. She sends her best. She couldn't be here today. But I'm here to present Ari with a citation to just thank them for continuing to be an essential partner in research, in intellectual conversation, in culture, for all of New York's diverse Asian Americans. And also, of course, to congratulate Assemblymember Yulin Nu, who we partner with all the time. And also congratulations to Jun Ji, who, don't let her fool you about the I'm retired, I do some work. She calls our office sometimes with the OCA hat, sometimes with the AARP hat, and sometimes just to call our office to express a policy position that she may not agree with, but she does it very professionally. She's nodding because I listened to that voicemail. And she's like, this is Jun Ji. And I was like, she couldn't have just texted me. She had to leave an official voicemail. But two exceptional honorees with great CUNY ties. And so congratulations. And the council member sends her best.
Thank you. Thank you, Gigi. And thank you to the councilwoman. So now I'd like to ask Dr. Anika Tam, daughter of the late Thomas Tam, and members of the Tam family, and Dr. Timothy Lynch, the interim president of Queensborough Community College, woo, to please come up to the stage to help present our next award. So the Thomas Tam Scholarship was established by an endowment by an endowment to the City of New York, and it awards $1,000 to a CUNY undergraduate student who has demonstrated creativity in the communication and concerns of the Asian American community in areas such as health, education, and culture. It's a really great award. Thank you. So this year's recipient is Ms. Biling Chen. Come on up, Biling. She is a chemistry major at Queensborough Community College. In her project, helping to integrate young Asian immigrants into the United States, Ms. Chen plans to conduct a weekly volunteer workshop to assist newly arrived Asian international students at Queensborough with guidance on how to navigate American and college life, and also offer tutoring for science, math, and English courses. And that's so important, you know, to help the international students. She arrived in the United States in 2016 as an international student, so she knows firsthand the difficulties of arriving in a new country. But it wasn't until Ms. Chen enrolled in science courses at Queensborough and socialized with other students of other ethnic backgrounds that she found herself more integrated into this new community. So through the guidance and encouragement of two mentors, Dr. Sasan Karimi and Dr. Paris Svironos, did I say that right? Ms. Chen presented research on organic chemistry and biology phages at professional conferences. Amazing. In 2018, she was president of the chemistry club. Wow. And she's currently the president of the Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. And she also, okay, oh my gosh, she works three jobs, including as peer mentor and a tutorial service leader. You are one, when do you study? She also plans, of course, to pursue a PhD in science in order to contribute to the greater knowledge of the scientific community and to work with others in the community to succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, please, a round of applause to this year's 2019 CUNY Thomastown Scholarship, Ms. Bailing Chen.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here to give a speech here. So, first of all, I would like to thank the Thomastown Scholarship Organization for giving me this opportunity to be able to conduct workshop in science courses for newly arriving international students and honoring me as the recipient of 2019 CUNY Thomastown Scholarship. Second, I would like to thank my research mentor, Dr. Sasan Kirimi. Chemistry department chair, he's our chemistry department chair, and my chemistry professor, Dr. Paris Soranos. I am so positive sure that without them, I could not have been here to address you tonight. Unfortunately, Dr. Soranos has class tonight, so he couldn't be here. Both Dr. Kirimi and Dr. Soranos helped me conduct workshop in general chemistry and organic chemistry in a classroom setting, which allows me to integrate myself with this academic society. Fortunately, Dr. Kirimi is here, and I'm glad that he's here so I can thank him in person and in front of all of you. Professor, thank you. Thank you for giving me opportunity to work with you in research. Okay, I try not to be emotional. And give me a hand when I'm in need and training me to be an independent lab worker. I know I give you trouble sometimes with my mistake, but he never give up on me. So in here, I would like to share a story with you. So last year, for some reasons, my landlord, so I live alone. I came along this country alone. So last year, my landlord, he told me I had to move out. So it was in the middle of the school. You know, I have three jobs. You know, I'm a full-time student and I have research. I was so worried, you know, like I don't know where I can live and to find, you know, I try to find a cheap place. So I was so worried, and I told my mentor, Dr. Kirimi, about these things. And my mentor, he says, Billy, don't worry, I'll help you. The whole chemistry department will help you. I was like... I'm so sorry. So Dr. Kirimi, he not only... helped me in school, in research. He also takes care of me in life, so which I really appreciate. Thank you. Next, I'll thank my friend, Megan Purtle, who is also here today. No one in white. Thank you, Megan, for always being here for me and being my best and most supportive friend. So with firsthand experience of language barrier in college, I know exactly how difficult it is to succeed in class as a second language speaker. Because the language barriers, international students are more likely to misunderstand the concepts, questions, and they might also too shy to express themselves, which makes it a lot harder to succeed in class. There's no doubt that I'm the lucky one because I'm surrounded by a supportive team. My own experiences have allowed me to understand and distinguish international students' difficulty. So I want to conduct weekly workshops to help these groups of students to help them better succeed in classes. I'm grateful to be in this country where hard work sooner or later is appreciated and success is not related to someone's background. And lastly, I want to say QCC, I want to say the full name here. Queensborough Community College is a great school. It's a place where my dream became reality. It's a place where my American dream starts. And I'm so proud to be QCC student. And thank you all for your attention. Thank you.
So now we will have our final awards of the evening, the KY and Noel Chin CUNY Ethics and Morality Essay Contest winners. Now this is a CUNY-wide competition that challenges students to think about the topics of ethics, morality, and virtuous behavior in their lives. And the top three essays this year will receive $1,000, $300, and $200 respectively. So we want to thank Dr. Chin and his wife Noelle for their $100,000 endowment to the City of New York to establish this competition. So to present the awards to this year's winners and honorable mentions, please welcome back Joyce Moy.
Thank you. Again, this is what we do right. Now, I just want to take a second and mention the alumni for a moment. The alumni that joined us on stage were previous recipients of our Distinguished Alumni Award. And I want you to know something about these people. Aziz Ahmad just got off the plane from being a keynote speaker at an international event at the Vatican. Savio Chan wrote a book called The Super Consumers of China. Lily Hui is a partner in a new firm. Just look at what we produce. Look at who's here. Look who comes back and supports all of us. Just think about that. Nelson Lewis, his wife Deborah Chan, stalwarts, supporters of the Asian American community all their lives, working so hard for all of us. This is, again, what we do right. And further, what we do right is to engage members of the community, regardless of what community they come out of, so that we can share what's common. So it's my pleasure at this time to introduce Jessica Gonzalez, who is our second runner-up. Would you please join us? She is from Queens College. And also, our first runner-up, Leora Greenberg, would you join us on stage, please? Provost Hendry, would you join us on stage as we present these awards? Okay, and then for our first prize winner, Stanley Lopez. Thank you and congratulations to all of our student winners. And now for the honorable mentions, we'd like to ask our honorable mention students to join us on stage as well. We have from Queensborough Community College, Somwati Jagannath and Zhonghua Tian. Would you please come up? And may I again ask President Lynch to join us in presenting this? He barely gets to rest today because his students are so terrific. And then finally, our last honorable mention winner from Kingsborough Community College, Ms. Marilyn Montoya. I'm going to ask Professor Catherine Ma to join us on stage to present this award. She is a member of ARI's board. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to turn it back to Ernabelle. Thank you, Ernabelle, for your support, for the generosity of your time, for your energy and your spirit.
My pleasure, Joyce. Thank you so much. So thank you and congratulations to all our talented CUNY students. You all are going to do amazing things and set the world on fire. So guess what? This now concludes the formal program of the Asian American and Asian Research Institute's 18th Annual Gala. It's 8:45. We did it, Joyce, on time. Thank you all for joining us tonight to celebrate ARI's achievements and also to congratulate our honorees and our students. So a reminder, if you are the highest bidder in our silent auction, I may be taking off soon. Our volunteers will be making their way. Oh, they're going to be coming to our table with the item and to collect the payment. And if you still haven't won a raffle prize, and are there still remaining raffle tickets? Yes, yes, no, no, maybe. If there are, you probably could still buy some. But remember to claim your prizes before leaving the restaurant tonight. So once again, I'm Ernabelle DeMillo. You can catch me on Asian American Life on Channel 75. And if you have rabbit ears, you could get us on 25.3. But also, we are now seen at PBS stations across the country. Yeah, across the country. And so here's the thing. Can I just ask everyone in this room? We're trying to hit, so our show has the largest amount of Facebook followers. And we're trying to hit 20,000 followers. So if you could like at Asian American Life on Facebook, we're almost there. If I could get everyone in this room, we'll be really almost there. We want to get there like by January, maybe by Chinese New Year when I'm emceeing the CPC event. So on behalf of the board and the staff of ARI, we look forward to seeing everyone again. The 19th annual gala. Oh, wow, you're going to be 20 soon. So everyone, thank you. Get home safely and happy, happy holidays.
Keep your eyes out for an announcement about the CUNY Asian American Alumni Association that we're going to launch next year. So all of you who stood up, we're going to be looking for you for support, to create networks so that we can grow together and succeed together, because we know how to do things right. Thank you.